Father, we love you this morning, and we give you all the glory and honor, and we thank you, Lord. We declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And as we look into the word of God today, we pray that that word will inspire faith in our hearts to tap into the various anointings of favor and blessing that we shall read from in the word of God today. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Yesterday was part one, and we started through this series and calling out various people that had tremendous favor with God and man. And we used their life to make a prayer request for ourselves and tap into their anointing. I'm just going to go quickly over the names that we covered yesterday. Enoch was a man that was highly favored with God. In fact, he pleased the Lord and he walked with God. Noah also was a man that pleased the Lord, walked with God, and obtained favor. Abraham obtained favor and tremendous blessings. And the Lord swore to him a great blessing. And Lot was one that got favor by extension from the blessing that was on Abraham. You know, so we got there. I talked a little bit about Jacob, but today I'm going to pick it up from Isaac, and then we'll talk a little more about Jacob and a few others to follow. So, Isaac, let's read a portion of his story in Genesis chapter 26. And if you missed yesterday's lesson, you may have to go back to the replays to get it. Genesis 26, verses 12 to 15. We want to see, I want you to pay close attention to something in the life of this Isaac. Now, Isaac was the son that Abraham waited for a long time. And we saw the relationship that was between him and his father. His father loved him dearly because he was the son he waited for. And how God tested Abraham and gave him a promise. And how God also even passed on the same promise to Isaac. All right, so there was a time, you know, that this, Isaac, you know, found himself in the land of these Philistines. But let's read something. I'm just going to read a small portion of it. Genesis 26 and 12. And Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Now that's a tremendous blessing. For somebody, you know, I mean, this, we're talking about, you know, putting seed in the ground, natural seed. You know, he got up, you know, some land where he was at, and he just plowed the land a little bit, sowed some seed. And the next thing you know, the Bible says the Lord gave him a hundredfold. I mean, that's just usually a terminology or a term that means an abundance and an overflow, you know, from his effort of sowing, you know, did a little bit of farming, but he received tremendous blessing from the Lord. That's favor. And also we see that it was about the space of a year that this blessing came around to him. There's a lesson, there's a hidden and silent lesson in that as well. Not to get carried away with, you know, sow a seed today, get a hundredfold tomorrow, kind of messages that you may get either on this clubhouse or elsewhere. You know, it took Isaac a whole year to get that blessing, and it came from the Lord. You know, so no shortcut to it. And sometimes people like to tell you that to make you believe that. And make merchandise of the people. But if you stay true with the word of God and you are diligent, the Lord will bring the blessing. It might take a full year or a cycle of blessings. In the case of the farming that he did, there's cycles, and the Lord blessed him the same year. But let's consider something that happened here. The Bible says that the man waxed great. That's verse 13. And went forward. See, he never went backward. He went forward always. And he waxed so great and grew until he became very great. Now that's tremendous blessing. He started as, you know, just one man with, you know, wife here and there, you know, and so forth, you know. But the next thing you know, mighty blessings came upon him. We're told that he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and a great store of servants. I mean, how many servants can you have? This man had it all. And moreover, the Philistines envied him. You know, they saw what the Lord had done for him. And they said, see, this man is great. They began to envy him. All the wells that his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, these Philistines were stopping them. Because they envied the blessing that was upon him. But they couldn't really stop the blessing. You know, the blessing, they even wanted to drive him away, you know. Abimelech, you know, that was ruler of the Philistines at the time, the king. He said unto him, get away from us, because you are too mighty. You're mightier than us, you know. And no matter where Isaac went, the blessings followed him. He went to another place, digged some more wells, and so forth. And he had tremendous favor. And I want you to look at how his favor was so much, so great, that even the people around him started to envy him. Our prayer today, in tapping into the anointing that was in Isaac's life, is to say that may the Lord grant us this kind of favor in so blessing the work of our hands, that, you know, even people around us begin to envy the goodness of the Lord in our lives. But they can't do it. They can't stop it, though. They may envy it, but they cannot stop it. You know, for according to Numbers 23 and 23, when the Lord has put a blessing on you, nobody can change it. No enchantment and no divination can work against you when the Lord has put his blessing on you. And I'm going to pray this prayer over the people in the room. The blessing of Isaac, the anointing that was upon him, may it come upon you. Psalm 90 and verse 16 and 17. Psalm 90 verses 16 and 17. I'm going to use this to pray over you. And as I go through this lesson, I'm going to be calling out prayer for to tap into the anointing in the stories that we will read. And Psalm 90 verse 16 says that the Lord is going to bless the work of your hands. Praise the Lord. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. That's a declaration and a prayer too. And let, you know, the Lord establish the work of our hands upon us. Yea! Even the work of our hands, establish thou it, O Lord. May the Lord establish the work of your hands. The Lord cause the work of your hands to increase until you become very great in the land. Cause even the people to envy what the Lord is doing for you. The beauty of the Lord upon you and the work of your hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's the story of Isaac. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about the story of Jacob, but I want to bring it back again today because Jacob followed Isaac. Isaac followed Abraham. So let me put it in that perspective. Jacob was a man that was highly favored of God. You know, there is something I want to bring out concerning Jacob. you know, the Lord did not allow the enemy to spoil him. You know, somebody that started out as family, Laban, turned out to be an oppressor to Jacob. He oppressed him. He tricked him. You know, first, you know, he said he was going to give him a wife. The one that he wanted was not what he gave him. You know, wow. He wanted Rachel, tricked him, gave him Leah. He served 7 years for that first woman. The man tricked him again. He had to serve another 7 years for the woman he really wanted. And after all of that, he said, look, I've served you. Let me go and raise my own family. And Laban said, well, I've seen that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Now, that's a great thing to notice. Everywhere, you know, that you go, may the Lord bring blessings, even blessings to people because of you. We've seen stories in the Bible like that. This man, Jacob, you know, the house of Laban increased tremendously because he was there. You know, same kind of favor that was upon, you know, Joseph. You know, we'll read that later. So, this man, you know, had so much favor. And I want to read to you Isaiah 62 and verse 8. How the Lord promised that he will not allow the enemy to cheat you out of your blessings, to rob you, to eat your labor, or whatever. Isaiah 62 and 8 said, the Lord has sworn by his own right hand, the arm of his strength, that he will no longer give thy corn to be meat for thy enemies, for the which thou hast labored. Neither will the sons of the stranger drink thy wine, but they that have gathered it shall eat and drink of it in the courts of my holiness, saith the Lord. And if the devil should take anything from you, the grace and the favor of God for full recovery. That's right. That was upon Jacob. And in the way that the Lord dealt with him, showed him a revelation of how to cause a transfer of wealth, you know, legally, you know, where nobody could say he stole it, transfer all the wealth, you know, by tremendous inspiration of the Almighty. How do you do that? How do you influence cattle to bring forth a particular color, you know, and Jacob did it. Nobody else like that in the whole Bible. Influence how the cattle, when they conceive, they bring forth certain colors. The colors that Jacob and Laban had agreed upon, that look, the cattle that were very, the few in numbers, you know, spotted, you know, grizzled and so forth, ring streaked, that people didn't like, you know, Jacob said, that will be my hire. You know, and if you see any other cattle with me that's not of these colors, then you'll know that I stole them. So it's easy for us to tell. And Laban thought that was good. He agreed to it. But as soon as that agreement was made, everything after that changed in Jacob's favor. God gave him a revelation. He saw how to make the strong cattle that had the good genes, you know, to bring forth the color that was agreed that would be his. And when it was the feeble cattle, he let them alone. So all the feeble cattle remained with Laban, and all the strong and well-favored cattle, the fatted ones, transferred legally to Jacob. There was nothing Laban could do about it. Because at the end of the day, they went through, and they found that he had no cattle, nothing in his flocks that was not the colors that had been agreed upon. And God gave him this tremendous favor of transfer of wealth to do it that way. Praise the Lord. May the Lord give you also this kind of favor. The Lord will protect your, you know, interests. The devil will not be able to steal anything from you. And if he tried to, the Lord will restore it to you many, many fold in the name of Jesus. So tremendous blessings. Some of this I spoke about yesterday, but just a quick review. And then also, Jacob was a man that was recognized as a prince with God in prayer. He had this tenacity in prayer. Now, the first story that I told was in Genesis 30, verses 37 to 43, of how he got the transfer of wealth from Laban. This next story is in Genesis 32, verses 24 to 28, how Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and he wouldn't turn loose. He wanted a blessing, and he said, I'll get a blessing, or nobody's going anywhere. And the Lord told him, he said, wow, thou art a prince with God. He received a change of name also. God called him a prince because he had power with God in resilience, persistence in prayer. May the Lord give you this kind of grace and strength that your prayer will have this kind of effect on the Lord, that he will call you a prince, that you have power. God, you know, well, that means you must not turn loose. Just like Jacob, he did not. Got to bless me, he said, all night long. And not letting you go anywhere until you bless me. How many of us can really pray like that? You know, sink your teeth into the thing and don't turn loose until you see it. I mean, that's exactly, you know, what the Lord wants us to do. And we've talked about this persistence in prayer last week or so. We had a lesson about that, you know, that look, when you are believing God for something, don't turn loose. Stay right there with the Lord until you get what you are looking for. You know, don't you dare turn loose. In fact, in the book of Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7, this same place where we were just reading. Just a couple of verses before that. It says, watchmen on the walls. The Lord calls out to the watchmen and he said, look, those of you that are calling unto the Lord, give him no rest. Don't keep silent and don't give him any rest until he establish and bring forth the blessing that you are believing for. That's right. So this was the posture that Jacob had, and the Lord blessed him tremendously, called him a prince with God, because he wouldn't turn loose until he got his blessing. Praise the Lord. The Lord give you and me a kind of tenacity in prayer and recognition from God as well. Praise the Lord. We talked about Joseph yesterday, and I want to do a quick recap because his story was amazing. You know how Jacob started out. Joseph started out. You know, and how the blessing of God was upon him even for dreams. The Lord would give him, even as a young man, dreams to show that, you know, it looked like his brothers and so forth, he would be higher than them. And that they would come and bow down to him and so forth. You know, now, of course, you know, he could have been a little smarter and kept his mouth shut. He didn't, you know, run off his mouth, told everybody those dreams, and made his brothers to hate him, you know, and they hated him even more when his father preferred him be above them. And he would tell of their evil ways to his father, and they hated him even more. Father made him a rainbow coat and made him hated even more. I mean, everything around him, even his brethren, his siblings, were envious of him. They hated him. And when they had opportunity, they plotted to kill him. The Lord delivered him out of their hands. They put him in a pit. The Lord delivered him out of there. They sold him into slavery. On and on and on and on. With the mind that will get him so far away from us, we'll see what will become of his dreams. But the favor of God was with him everywhere. God turning all his would-be destiny destroyers into destiny helpers, whether willingly or unwillingly. I pray that this kind of favor will be upon you. When people do you evil or meant to do you evil, the Lord will turn it around into good and make it steps towards the greater blessing that God has for you in getting to your destiny, your God-given destiny. It was Joseph's destiny to be above his brethren. Hallelujah. And no matter what they did to diminish him, to despise him, to kill him, and everything they thought to do, God took it out of their hands and caused him to get closer and closer and closer to his destiny. And even when he got into a foreign land, where he was brought in as a slave, immediately he had favor before Potiphar, who bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites. And on and on and on, you know the rest of his story. Even when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him and he wouldn't give in, she framed him for a crime that he did not commit. They threw him into prison. And even in prison, he got favor. We talked about this yesterday. Favor everywhere. May the Lord grant you favor everywhere. Even when he got into prison, he had favor before the warden. And it was this favor that would eventually turn him into the greatest man in the land. That's right. Because he had the opportunity to visit all of the prisoners. He had the rounds he could do. He was almost like the warden. The warden put everything in his hand. And he could go around and look upon the prisoners that were there. It was almost like he himself was not a prisoner. Had free access to everybody. And in one of those rounds, he met a baker and a butler that had been thrown in prison by Pharaoh. And on and on and on, the end of the story, all that favor eventually led him to stand before Pharaoh. And you know what happened next. He was suddenly promoted from prison to prime minister of the land. May the Lord, here's your favor prayer that I'm praying for you out of the story of Joseph today. May the Lord turn every would-be destiny destroyer into destiny helpers. Would-be, I said, because they cannot destroy your destiny. But every would-be destiny destroyer, the Lord will turn their actions into destiny helpers. You know, moving you closer and closer to what the Lord has for you, despite their plans. Hallelujah. And may the Lord give you favor everywhere, like this man. Even when he was in the worst of conditions, favor still located him from God. And then sudden promotion. Glory to God. Now, let me take a moment and pray this sudden promotion prayer for some that are in the room today. This year, the next 12 months, you know, I don't mean this calendar year, but I declare that within the next 12 months, glory to God, hallelujah, that the Lord will bring you sudden promotion. Glory to God. Now, in the Genesis chapter 39, verses 21 to 23, and many others in chapter 41 and so on. We see all of these stories. And even Stephen talking about Joseph in his sermon. Stephen, the Acts of the Apostles, in Acts chapter 7, verses 9 to 10. Here's what Stephen had to say about Joseph. Joseph was so favored that even his life was used in the preaching of the gospel. Glory to God. So let's read the account of Stephen, you know, concerning Joseph. You know, Stephen talked about the patriarchs, who are the siblings of Joseph, how they were moved with envy and sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him, he said, and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and who eventually made him governor over Egypt and all of his house. And at that time, being governor over Egypt is like being governor over almost the whole world, because the whole world looked to Egypt. And he became, you know, ruler over the nation, ruler over everything. You know, everything was under his hand. And he also, his enemies, his brothers, who thought they had gotten rid of him, eventually bowed down to him. Likewise did Potiphar and his wicked wife bow down to Joseph. Because Pharaoh made a decree, let all knees bow to Joseph. There will nobody lift a hand in Egypt except by Joseph. I am Pharaoh, he said, and you are Joseph. Sudden promotion. Get the man out of the slum and bring him here. And in one moment, one day, just like that, God changed that. All the years that he waited for what God has said in those dreams. Now we can say, see what the Lord has done. Glory to God. God, I pray for your people that are here listening to me today, that they will receive, many of them will receive sudden promotion. Praise the Lord. Remember, you know, promotion cometh not from here or there and so on, but it comes from the Lord, according to Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7. The Lord is the one that's able to put one down and lift one up. The Lord will put you up and never down in Jesus' name. He raises even the beggars out of the dunghill. Set them among princes. He can do that. And the Lord will grant you this kind of favor in this coming year in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And that's the blessing out, you know, in the life of Joseph that I pray that you tap into in Jesus' name. Favor everywhere. Favor in the midst of trouble. Favor despite all odds. Favor to cause your would-be destiny destroyers and your adversaries, cause their actions to make them become unwilling destiny helpers. You know, unwilling, but nonetheless, God turned their action to destiny helpers. They didn't know it. They were pushing Joseph towards his blessing. Joseph had to go to prison in order to meet the servants of Pharaoh that were casting there. And the man, you know, the butler that was restored, you know, the Lord, you know, used even his wickedness, his forgetfulness to even propel Joseph forward. The man forgot him for 2 years. Joseph said, look, when you are restored, put in a good word for me before Pharaoh. Because look, I'm here for a crime that I did not commit. Perhaps they can investigate and find I didn't commit this crime. Just put in a good word for me. And, you know, I'm sure that even the word in here will speak well of me, how I'm well behaved and everything. Yeah, the man said, yeah, I will. But he did not. For 2 years, he did not remember him. But God used that as well. See, God will use all the lapses and the gaps in your life that you thought were losses and use it to your favor. How did God use it in this case? Well, if the butler, consider this, if the butler, as soon as he got out of prison, I told Pharaoh that, look, there was a man in prison that had the gift to interpret dreams, and it was his interpretation of my dream, what you said, what I said to him, and what he said to me. It happened as it is. If he had told Pharaoh that thing, it would have meant nothing to Pharaoh at all. Until God waited until Pharaoh had a need for that gift that was in Joseph. And it came to pass that 2 years later, Joseph would be, God was setting him up. Pharaoh would have these dreams that he himself could not interpret. It troubled him. None of his wise men, magicians, soothsayers, you know, and so forth, none of them could figure it out. And Pharaoh, while he was musing and asking about it, the butler heard about it and said, oh my goodness, I remember my fault this day. There was this man that I met while Pharaoh was angry with me, and the baker cast us into prison. And it happened upon one day that two of us dreamt each man his dream. And this young man, one of the children of the, so far away from a foreign land and so forth, he was there, a Jew, told him. And he interpreted our dreams to us, each man, and he fell on us according to his interpretation. Let Pharaoh, I pray, fetch this man. And he would declare to Pharaoh his dream. My goodness. Now, the Lord waited for that perfect timing to bring Joseph before Pharaoh. And at that time, Pharaoh was desperate for that interpretation. You know, if he had been told of Joseph earlier, he might not have done anything about it because he didn't need anything from him. But at the time he needed, he took a chance. Well, bring this man then from prison. Set him before me. And let me tell him in my dream and let's see what he will say. And the butler said, King, I assure you, this man will interpret your dream. But let Pharaoh listen to the man, because his dream, his interpretation will come to pass. And so Pharaoh brought Joseph, and Joseph, and you know the rest of the story. The favor that God will time events in your life and around you, even forgetfulness, even time that you thought was lost, God timed it perfectly in the life of Joseph and caused it to turn him into a great man in the land. A prime minister out of prison in one day. May the Lord cause you to tap into this kind of anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's talk about the people of Israel in the book of Exodus chapter 11. Verse 3. Now, the story of these children of Israel is a long story, which we have told many times when we did the Exodus series. So I'm not going to get too much into it. However, I want to point out that the Pharaoh that favored Joseph, after a while, he died. You know, and all the people of Joseph who had come in with his brothers, with his father and everything, and they had grown and multiplied and so forth. That Pharaoh, when he came, he envied them and he didn't like them at all, because he said, look, these people are multiplying and, one day they're going to be against us. So, you know, on and on and on, various things started to happen. But the Lord, we're told, the people began to oppress them, but when the time of redemption drew near, and this is the lesson I want to bring out of this. When the time of God's redemption draws near, hallelujah, God will cause even your enemies to favor you, hallelujah. The people that are oppressed them by the signs and wonders and the mighty hand of God against that nation, finally, he caused them to want to thrust them out. Look, you know, we'll do anything to get rid of these Jews, they thought finally. At first, Pharaoh would not do it, and the Lord knew he wouldn't do it. And the Lord even hardened his heart, you know, to make, you know, even God's hand to be even greater. But as time went on, we're told here in Exodus chapter 11 and verse 3, this is how God gave the children of Israel favor. Even before their oppressors. Here's what it says. You know, if you read it, let's read from verse 1 of Exodus 11. The Lord said to Moses, yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and Egypt. And afterwards, he will let you go hence. And when he shall let you go, he shall thrust you out altogether. Because he was like, look, just get out of here. Because you've been a thorn in their flesh. Now, the Lord told him, speak now in the ears of the people. Let every man borrow of his neighbor and every man of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. Now, these Egyptians would never have given to the Jews any of their gold and silver and stuff unless the Lord had tormented them to the point that they were willing to do anything, anything to get rid of the children of Israel. Now, here's a warning to the Pharaohs and the oppressors that try to oppress the children of God. The Lord told Pharaoh, Israel is my firstborn. You mess with my firstborn, I'm gonna mess with yours. In fact, I will kill yours. I will kill your firstborn and the firstborn of everything, man and beast, that's in the land. Because you dare to mess with my firstborn. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the apple of his eye. I want you to have this confidence. Are we content with him that contends with you? The Lord has got your back and he's got you. You are the apple of his eye. And the Lord will suffer no man. The Bible says, suffer no man to touch them. He will suffer no man to afflict you. And those that afflicted you, when the time of restitution of all things comes your way, and I pray that beginning now, through the next year, you will begin to experience this restoration and restitution and recovery, my goodness, and deliverance. And the Lord caused these people. He said, God gave them favor in the sight of the Egyptians. They pretty much robbed the Egyptians, but legally, because they didn't go to their house to steal anything. They just stood there and asked for it. And those people brought out the gold, they brought out the silver, they brought out everything. I gave it to them. In fact, they thrust it into them. Said, to you, take it and leave. Because God had, you know, plagued them sore in Egypt until they were ready to thrust them out. Praise the Lord. The Lord grant you favor. Favor even in the land where you are living. Favor, you know, everywhere. Favor from your neighbors. Favor from those that like you or those that hate you. Doesn't matter. When the favor of God is upon you, it doesn't matter whether the people like you or hate you. It is, the effect is still the same. Glory to God. God's favor trumps, you know, what people may do or try to do to you or against you. Praise the Lord. And I pray that the Lord will give you this kind of favor among the people and in the land where you are. Praise the Lord. Now, some of you move to foreign lands and so on and so forth, and it seems as if you cannot get ahead because of many laws and different things and so forth. The Lord calls you to begin to receive favor in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let me talk about the story of Moses for a bit. This Moses, you might know his story. He was the one chosen of God. He didn't know it at first, but yes, he was. And you know all the things he did through this story of Exodus, but that's not a part that I want to talk about. We've talked about that one so many times, but let's leave that alone for now. I want to bring out something in the life of Moses. In Moses, in Exodus chapter 33, when Moses, this was the man that had seen all those miracles, all those signs and wonders, tremendous things that he had seen. You know, and God was using, bringing out the children of Israel from Egypt by the hand of Moses and by the stretched out hand of the Lord. And a lot of things happened, you know, and the Bible says, you know, let me read to you something about Moses. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in that day, you know, that was the height of favor in the day. Back then, you know, this was before the Holy Spirit. This was before Christ came to restore all things. Back then, the greatest height that anyone could have was for God to call them friend. He called Abraham his friend. And Moses here was called someone that was, you know, more than a friend. You know, I mean, God spoke to him face to face. You know, my goodness. You know, it wasn't just he would hear a word in his heart, or he would see a dream, or he would think something. No, God spoke to him face to face, as a man would speak to his friend. Now, we know that today, God wants us to have more than face-to-face relationship. Face-to-face was wonderful and it was great. But that was then, this is now. You know, but what God wants us, you know, wants now is for him to tabernacle in us. Face-to-face is still, he's here, you're there. Even if it's 1 foot apart, he's still there, and you're still here. But today, he's in us. Glory to God. You know, so, but, you know, let's consider the prayer that Moses prayed. He said, Lord, see what you sold me when you told me to bring out these people. You know, you told me, you know, that you will bring them out. You have told me that I know thee by name now. And he said, if I have found favor and grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, O Lord. Now Moses understood that the need for him to understand the way of the Lord in order for him to know the Lord. As you know, as the scripture says, the Lord showed Moses his ways and the people his acts. The people, they didn't know the Lord because they didn't know the way of the Lord. All they saw was the mighty signs and wonders. But Moses wanted to know the Lord. And he said, grant me this favor and this grace that I may know your ways so that I may know you. And he says, you know, and the Lord gave him a tremendous word. In verse 14 of Exodus 33, the Lord said unto him, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. Until this day, this is a word of comfort and consolation to us. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord will go with you. May the Lord grant you this grace and this anointing. Tap into it, that the presence of the Lord will always go with you. And Moses, he stood right there and said, Lord, yeah, I hear you, but if for whatever reason your presence will not go with us, then don't even carry us dance. But the Lord said, my presence will go with you. Now, the Lord said to Moses, he gave him that promise. And Moses said, if I have indeed found favor before you, let it be so as you have said. Now, my prayer for you in tapping into this kind of anointing is, may God, you and me, both. May God favor us with his abiding presence to go with us. I mean, go before us and go with us. And may the Lord give us rest from all our troubles and rest from all our labors. He said, look, I will go before thee. My presence, glory to God, will go before thee and I will give you rest. And ladies and gentlemen, let us be akin to understanding and, you know, discerning the presence of the Lord. I will go before thee, he said, and I will make straight the crooked places. Isaiah 45:2. And Jesus himself told his disciples, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I will never leave you nor forsake you. May the Lord grant us this kind of favor, that his abiding presence will always be with us. Now, let's see how Jesus himself, you know, talked about it. What was the reason why Jesus, you know, was so confident, you know, that his, father was always, you know, with him? Jesus, you know, he said, look, I am not alone. My Father is with me, you know, because I do always those things that are pleasing in his sight. And look, this is the kind of place where we want to be. You know, I am not alone, Jesus said, my Father who sent me is with me. And he's with me. How do I know he's with me? Well, because I do always those things that are, you know, pleasing unto him. I do always those things. Do we do always the things that are pleasing, you know, unto him? This should be our prayer, you know, for us to do always those things that are pleasing to the Lord. You know, when we do always the things that are pleasing to the Lord, then we don't even have to worry, you know, about, you know, whatever it is that is going on. Because God said, I mean, Jesus said, you know, the Father was with him because he did always those things that were pleasing to the Father. And if we live our lives like that, you know, then the Lord will also always be with us. And that's the kind of favor and relationship that we want to have with the Lord. So always do those things that are pleasing to the Father, or the Holy Spirit in our case, because as the Father was to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is to us. Praise the Lord. And when we do the things that are pleasing to him, he will always be there for us. In the book of John, chapter 8, is where Jesus declared that. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. 8 John 8:29. For I do always those things that please him. May the Lord grant us this kind of heart to do always the things that are pleasing to the Lord. And what does that mean? Well, in the book of 1 John chapter 3, and we spoke about this before when we talked about, you know, active and passive obedience. Here's the way, you know, that John put it. He said in John chapter 3, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. Now that's active obedience. And also we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's passive obedience. Active obedience is you do what God has point blank commanded. That's active obedience. Now, passive obedience is, well, whether the Lord has point blank commanded it or not, but you know it's pleasing to him, you do it. That's yielding our will to his. So, Jesus said, well, because I do always those things that are pleasing to my Father, and Jesus yielded his will, you know, and he said, nevertheless, not my will be done. Because he yielded his will all the time to the Father, the Son can do nothing of his own except what the Father showed him that the Son doeth likewise. Because he did all those things that way and was fully submissive to the Lord, I mean to the Father, you know how God promoted him as well. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 9. And we see that if we ourselves will do always the things that are pleasing in God's sight, then we can have the same confidence that the Lord is always with us. Now, rather than praying and say, Lord, be with me, we can pray then and say, Lord, grant me the grace to do always those things that are pleasing in your sight. Because if you do, then he's with you. Praise God. The Lord is always with us. The question is, are we always lockstep with him? Because he's always with us. And if we do those things that are pleasing always in his sight, then he will be with us. May the Lord grant us this kind of favor that he granted to Moses. That he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. There was a man of the tribes, you know, of Israel, when Moses was blessing these children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 33, there's a lot of blessings that went out to them. I want to call out one that's called Naphtali. Hallelujah. Praise God. Nothing is spoken too much of him, you know, but I want to tell you today about this man. You know, it became a tribe, actually, you know, but let's see, you know, what his story. There's just a little couple of verses I want to talk about him. Naphtali, in Hebrew, we're told means struggle or strife or wrestling or difficulties or challenges. You know, so that's what his name meant. You know, his struggle, say my struggle, my difficulty, my trouble, my strife, my challenges, my setbacks, or whatever, you know. But let's see what the Lord said concerning this man who was a troubled man, you know. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 23. And I want to declare this kind of favor on you that you will tap into it today when you feel troubled, like Naphtali. His name was trouble. His name was struggle. His name was a problem, basically. You know, that his life was like that. But let's see what the Lord declared to him, you know, in this declaration that Moses said. He said, Naphtali, thou shalt be satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord. Now he said, well, possess the west and possess the south. Glory to God. Satisfied with favor. May you receive this blessing that was conferred upon Naphtali, that you will be satisfied with favor. And you'll be full with the blessing of the Lord. And that which was previously your story of struggles, your story of, you know, setbacks and different things. But that was the name of this man. That's what it meant. My struggle, my strife, my setback, my wrestling, all of these things. It's what it meant in the Hebrew. But the Lord said, look, I'm going to change your story. You will be satisfied with favor. And my prayer over the room today, the blessing of Naphtali come upon you. The Lord satisfy you with favor and cause you to be full of the blessing of the Lord. I declare that for you today. Now, as we're going through this, I hope people are receiving these things for themselves. Don't wait until the end and say, oh, at the end, he's going to pray over the room. I'm already praying the prayer. As I'm going through each of these stories, I'm already declaring the blessing that was upon each of these storylines to be upon you. So don't wait until the end. Begin to receive this for yourself. Because that's the purpose of this lesson. You'll see that we're doing it differently than we've done before. In the past, I'll give a lesson, a teaching, and then we'll pray at the end. Well, this one, I'm going through a story by story, storyline by storyline, here a little, there a little. I'm calling out the favor and the blessing of God upon you, that you may tap into the blessing of each of these stories, how they had favor both with God and with man. And you begin to tap into it as we pray throughout this lesson. We're making prayer. Upon the declaration of every story, we're also making the prayer, you know, to receive the blessing that was upon the principal in that story. Whoever was the main story person there, and what we are calling out, we're calling out that same favor upon you. So may the blessing of Naphtali be upon you, cause you to be satisfied with favor and be full of the blessing of the Lord. I declare that for you today in Jesus' name. Everyone that's in this room, you know, be satisfied with favor from the Lord. Favor everywhere. Favor and the blessing of the Lord be upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, that's a blessing of Naphtali. Now, let me talk to you briefly about Gideon. I'll talk to you briefly about Gideon. Gideon's story was found in the book of Judges. I'm going to just talk a little bit in Judges chapter 6. There was an encounter that Gideon had with the angel of the Lord. And there is a prayer that I'm going to pray out of that story. But first, I read the story to you. In Judges chapter 6, let's pick up this story from about verse 14. Now, there was something that used to happen to the children of the Lord, which were the children of Israel at that time. The Midianites were their oppressors. And here's what we are told in verse 11. There came an angel of the Lord, Judges 6 and 11, and he sat under an oak, which was in this place called Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So that's what they used to do. All their threshing and everything. The Midianites used to wait. Let them do all the hard labor, all the corn and everything. When they finished it, the Midianites would come there, bully them, beat them up, bind them with, you know, feathers and so forth, and take everything away from them. And all their labor would perish. And this was how the Midianites were present. So they started to go into hiding. When they want to do these things, they will go in hiding. They hide in holes, hide behind rocks, hide here and there, so that their oppressors wouldn't see them. And their hope is that, you know, when we finish this threshing, we can carry it home or something without anybody getting it from us. But that was not always the case. Most of the time, they lost all their labor. Their oppressors came upon them and took it from them. And so the angel of the Lord appeared to this man while he was hiding, threshing wheat in the corners and somewhere. And the Lord said unto him, by the word of the angel, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. My first prayer today out of the story of Gideon is, may the Lord think of you as a mighty man of valor or a mighty woman of valor. Amen. You know, this man, he hadn't done anything at this time. In fact, he was hiding in the corners. Yet the Lord saw him as a mighty man of valor. And that was the salutation that he received of the Lord. The Lord said, the Lord is with thee. The angel of the Lord declared it to him, thou mighty man of valor. And the man looked around and said, who is he talking to? I'm sure he's not talking to me. You know, because he looked around. I'm hiding in the corner here, you know, and so forth. You know, and he said, what's he talking about? And, you know, he said, well, you said the Lord is with us. Well, if the Lord be with us, where then be, you know, all these things happening to us that we have to hide in the corner, you know? And, you know, this is the way it is sometimes in our minds. When the Lord said, I will be with you, I will never leave you and forsake you. Well, sometimes your mind will say, well, if the Lord is with you, or the devil may bring it. Most of the time, it's our mind, really. You know, say to you, well, if the Lord is with you, well, how come these things are befalling you? And that's exactly the same thing that Gideon is saying here. Now, if the Lord be with me, like you said, how come I have to hide in the corner from my enemies, you know, while waiting to come here and bully me and take the work of my hands, you know, and so forth. And where are all those miracles that we used to hear, the stories that we've read, that were told of how the Lord was great among the people, you know, how the Lord brought, you know, us, our people out of Egypt and so on. And this man said, look, don't tell me the Lord is with us. I mean, we don't see anything. Nothing is happening. You know, the skies are dry. The heaven is brass. There's no revival. There's no miracle. There's nothing happening. How come you say the Lord is with us? That's what he thought. He said, the Lord has forsaken us, he said. Now delivered us in the hands of these Midianites. And he challenged the status quo. They don't tell me everything is good. Nothing is good here. May the Lord give you this kind of fire in your heart to challenge the status quo, you know. And this man, he challenged the status quo. And the Lord looked upon him. And the Lord actually loved him. The Lord said, look, I like this fire that is in you. I can use that. Praise God. You know, and that's the thing with the Lord too. He can use a lot of things in us that we don't think the Lord can see or use. The Lord can see you. The Lord can see fire in this man. The Lord could see that, you know, there was valor in this man, even though he hadn't done anything, even though he was hiding in the corner. The Lord told him, no, I can see this fire and I can use that. Now, this fire that you're using to challenge the Lord here, I can use that. You know, and the Lord said, look, I can use that and I'm going to deliver, you know, these Midianites, you know, into your hand and so forth. And the Lord told him, look, I'm going to use you to save Israel. Be strong. You know, have I not sent you? So the man said, well, I don't know about that. You know, up to now, he's still doubting himself, you know, and doubting the word of the Lord that came to him, because he's looking at his circumstances. The Lord's telling me I'm a mighty man of valor, but here I'm hiding in the bush. You know, the Lord is telling me he's going to deliver me, but I can't even stand up to these Midianites, you know. And the Lord said, look, you know, be strong because I've sent you. And so he said, well, okay, you know, if the Lord has actually sent me to save Israel, how am I going to know it? My family is poor, you know. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot to learn from this conversation for Gideon and the angel. Gideon is trying to measure, you know, what the word of the Lord is saying by his own circumstances. Remember, when we did the series of Can You Smell What the Lord is Cooking? You know, we spoke about the Lord can use your upbringing, your family, whether the distress, the troubles in your life, the situations, the circumstances, your geographical location, your problems, your education, good or bad, everything that's in your life. God can use it as ingredients, put it together. He's a great chef. Mix it all up and out comes this beautiful meal. You know, and so this man is looking at his life. He said, look, my family is poor. I mean, we're the least, you know, and everything is going on. And I'm even the least in my father's house. How in the world is the Lord going to use me? Ladies and gentlemen, when the Lord has set his heart upon you to use you, you know, don't belittle yourself and don't despise yourself. We just talked yesterday or the other day about, I don't know, 2 days ago, about, you know, despise, I mean, this, you know, small, but becoming, you know, great, you know, raised, I mean, sown in weakness, raised in power, sown in shame, raised in glory and all of those things. We talked about a powerful, powerful lesson that people need to listen to. And this man, he despised himself. He said, I'm nobody. The Lord said, you are somebody. And the Lord had to remind him. The Lord was kind to him too. Surely I will be with you and you will smite the Midianites as one man. The whole country, you will smite them as if they are one man. My goodness. You talk about a pronunciation, you know, that the Lord gave to this Gideon man. He said, look, you know, and now so the man said, okay, well, I hear you, but, you know, I pray you, if I found this favor on your side, show me then a sign. Now, at this point in time, Gideon did not know the word of the Lord. And this is what people do when they don't know the word of the Lord. You know, they say, well, you know, I don't know. So he wanted to try that word, see if it was really the Lord. Because he didn't know the Lord. He didn't know the voice. So it was kind of strange to him. So he put out a test and he said, look, here's what I'm going to do. You know, I am, you know, if the Lord is truly with me and the Lord is saying all these things, you know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this piece of cotton wool. I'm going to do something about it, you know. So he did, and the Lord was with him, and he said, look, I'm going to, he said, look, if I found grace with you, I pray, I'm going to bring forth a present. He went, he tarried, he went in, he went and did a lot of things. He brought forth food, he brought forth this and that and so forth, you know, and, you know, when he did all these things, the Lord also, you know, assured him that he was going to deliver Israel. You know, the lesson, I don't want to get too far into this lesson, but the lesson I want to give for you today out of this man is that, look, when we think of ourselves as nothing, most of the time the people that got called, they always thought of themselves as nothing. You know, say, well, you know, I am nobody. my father's house is nothing. Well, God doesn't need to call the, families that are great in the land. You know, he can take the little things. That's what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians 1. The Lord takes the base things of the world and things that are despised to confound the mighty. He did not choose the mighty families of Israel. He went to this man and said, I'm a small family in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. And this was what the Lord, told him. And so, our prayer today is that you will find this kind of favor before the Lord, that the Lord would see you as a valiant man, as a man of valor, and so on and so forth, And remember, if you will read the rest of this Judges chapter 6, after Gideon, brought the offering and everything. Later on in that chapter, in about verse, when you get to about verse 36, you will see that this man Gideon is still unsure of this call that is upon his life. Up to this point, he's unsure. Even all the things that he's done, the angel told him what to do, and he did it. And the angel of the Lord, brought fire out of the rock and all that stuff, and the unleavened cakes that he made, and so on, But, this man was still not sure after all of that. So let's read this story here, when we get to about verse 36, but the Lord told him also, that there's a spirit upon you that I'm going to use to destroy these people. So Gideon said unto the Lord, if thou wilt indeed save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, well, I'm going to do this. Take this little piece of cutting wool, put it on the floor, and if there be dew on the fleece only, and it's dry on the ground around it, then I shall know that you save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. So he did it, and he went to bed. And in the morning, it was so. When he woke up, he saw that the piece of cotton wool, which they call fleece, was, wet. And all the ground around this was dry. And still he wasn't sure. He said, well, okay. His mind told him, well, maybe the cotton wool soaked up all the water. I said, that's possible. The water fell around the cotton wool soaked it up. So that's why the wool is wet and the ground is dry. So, okay, let me reverse that. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you, don't be angry with me now, he said, but this time only let it be dry upon the fleece. I'm going to put this wool, a new flesh of cotton wool, in the mist. Let there be water all around it and it be dry. Then that way I'll know it wasn't the wool that soaked up the water. This man tried everything, doubted the word of the Lord and everything, but the Lord was patient with him. And of course the Lord did it. Got up the next day, and it was all around the wool, was wet, but the wool itself was dry. And now he said, now I know that it was the Lord, So finally he figured out the word of the Lord. And after that time, he didn't doubt the word of the Lord anymore. And the Lord would say unto Gideon, the Lord said unto Gideon, the Lord said unto Gideon, the Lord said unto Gideon. Judges chapter 7. But our prayer for you is this today concerning the story. I just took a little bit of time to tell you that story of Gideon because I don't think I've told it too many times in this room. So the prayer is this. May you find favor before God for even angelic visitation. That's right. Lord, I want that favor. Favor upon me. Favor upon your people. That the Lord will look kindly upon us, think of us as men and women of valor, and think highly of us enough to send us angelic visitations. Praise the Lord. I mean, there was a few people in the Bible that was highly favored like that, that they got pronunciations and announcements when the angel visited them. Daniel was one of them. The angel visited him and told him, thou art highly favored, and so forth. We'll come to him later on. So, Anyway, I'm going to leave that story there with Gideon. I've got many more stories to tell, but I want to allow time to pray over these things and for you to assimilate these things. There are many, many, many more stories, and I'm going to take my time and tell these stories until we go through every one of them. In each one of these stories, there will be a blessing out, a calling out of the blessing of favor that was upon that person's life or the people's lives, that we may receive and tap into those same anointings. For Gideon, may we find that kind of favor that he found, where God saw in him might and power, even though he thought little of himself. And the Lord send you and I angelic visitations that will strengthen us, even in time of doubt, you see. But here is the lesson. Don't doubt yourself just because of your circumstances. You know, you may have grown up in a family that was, you know, nothing. Probably grew up in a village somewhere. And because of that, you think that the Lord can't do anything with you. All of those, that's nothing with the Lord. You can take all of that and use it and bring something great out of it. And may we have this kind of favor. Gideon went on to be a tremendous man of war. Praise the Lord. And, you know, the Lord will speak to him. It was Gideon's army. You can read the story in Judges chapter 7. How the Lord will eventually, you know, do great things, you know, through this man. You know, after the Lord spoke to him, he gathered around 32,000 people, you know. And they were going to go and fight with the Midianites and everything. You know, so the Lord told him, well, the people you have are too many. You know, here's what the Lord told him, Judges chapter 7, verse 3. He said, the people that are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel should pump up themselves, vaunt themselves against me and say, my hand has saved me. Now, see what the Lord is saying here. The Lord doesn't want you to think that whatever you were able to do is what got you out of it. You know, and most of the time it's when your backs are against the wall, you can't do nothing. Praise the Lord. You know, a sister gave a testimony yesterday or the other day that last week or the other week when they were in church, I came out and said, you know, if you have a prayer that you cannot pray through, I have a situation that's overwhelming. Not the one that you can handle, but the one that you cannot handle. Come out here for prayers and let's believe the Lord together. And that's true. I did call that out because the Lord asked me to do it. You know, so, you know, the lesson here today is this. You know, even some things in the life of this Gideon. Not what you can do, you know, not the power that is with you, not by might or power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You know, the Lord trimmed them down from 32,000, first he sent out 22, you know, and then he said, look, there are still many, too many, you know, and bring them over to the river here and let them, you know, if they bend down, take water this way, or they do this and we'll separate them this way or this way. In the story, cut a long story short, at the end of it, he ended up with only 300 out of the 32,000 that started. He told some of them to, if you're afraid, go back, you know. And at the end of it, there was only 300. God pruned it down, and he did mighty deliverance through the hands of those 300. So by these 300, yeah, will I, you know, deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Now, may the favor of God that caused Gideon to receive these angelic visitations and this type of salutations of being a great person in the Lord, may it be with you as well. May the Lord see you as a man of valor, as a woman of valor. And may he grant you the grace to believe the word of the Lord and not to doubt yourself when the Lord has put a call upon your life. Ladies and gentlemen, looking at the time, we're at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to leave it there, continue it tomorrow by the grace of God. Let me pray over the room now. As I said before, you should have been praying along with me as I called out all those blessings and declarations in the lives of those people. But let me quickly round up the prayers for you. You know, starting from Isaac, you know, the Lord grant you favor to so bless the work of your hands that even people will envy you and you become very great in the land. Praise the Lord. The work of your hands be blessed. In the life of Jacob, may the Lord grant you favor to recover and full recovery, that is, or everything that the enemy had tried to cheat you out of or taken from you. The Lord will bring it back to you. Favor of the Lord to do that. That was upon Jacob. May we also receive favor from God and recognition to be called a prince with God. Glory to God. The story of Joseph. Favor everywhere. Favor everywhere. No matter what people try to do to you, the Lord will turn it around for favor. I can see everything turning around for me. Is it turning around for you? Yes. The Lord will also, in this next year, glory to God, grant you sudden promotion. Praise the Lord. It's called a quantum leap. That's how Joseph went from prison to prime minister in one day. May the Lord grant you favor among the people. Hallelujah. Favor among the people. And may the Lord cause you, in the case of Moses, he said, my presence will go with you and, you know, I will give you rest. May the Lord grant you this kind of favor to receive of him his abiding presence always. All of us, grant also, Lord, favor to have your abiding presence with us, to go with us and to give us rest. The blessing of Naphtali, may it be with you to cause you to, you know, as the Lord declared it to you, be satisfied with favor and to be full of the blessing of the Lord in the name of Jesus. The blessing of Naphtali be upon you. God will satisfy you and your household with favor in the coming months. And you'll be full of the blessing of the Lord, full and overflowing in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord grant you, like Gideon, to have favor with God, to receive angelic visitation and never doubt the call of God in your life. Praise the Lord. So, Father, we thank you for all these pronunciations and all of these blessings of favor, both before God and before man, that we've declared upon your people today, and we receive it unto ourselves in the name of the Lord Jesus. May we walk in the light of God's favor. That's right. Walking in favor. Hallelujah. Everywhere you go, be favored, you're highly favored and well blessed of the Lord. The full blessing of the Lord be upon you. Favor from God upon you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.